Okay, this is David Marlette, and this is another episode of Cinemergia for Creative Disturbance. I'm very pleased to be joined today by Tony McGavero, who's the CEO of Little Star, which you can tell us a little bit about this. My definition would be you guys, you're sort of a VR distributor is what comes to my mind. Mm-hmm. I know people talk publishing too sometimes, mm-hmm. coming from the gaming world. Well, tell us a little bit, Tony, about what you guys are doing.
Yeah. So we're building a network for immersive content, and so primarily focused on video and photography right now. So video and photos in 360 degrees, and then right. delivering that content to VR headsets, but then also to consumers who might not have a VR headset. So we have support for native mobile devices and the web and mobile web.
Yeah, I saw that today. I saw that app. I think it was the dancer, and you just held up the phone and, mm-hmm. and moved around. Immediately went into the. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I liked how seamless it was. Mm-hmm. Well, this is your immersive platform is what you guys. Mm-hmm. You're not a distributor in the sense that you're not marketing the products on there. You're giving a platform through which people can find the content. Is that mm-hmm. that accurate?
Yeah, it's a destination. Yeah, so we have discovery built into it, so you can search and, you know, as you're viewing right. a video, see related content associated with what you're watching. And yeah, so it's really meant to be a destination, but we also have a developer API so that you know, brands or entertainment companies can build applications on top of our platform.
Right.
So, you know, they can build custom branded experiences, and then everything that is pulled into that experience is also then syndicated on Little Star.
I see. You know, I because this is such a we're out here pioneers on the prairie a little bit in VR cinema world. I'm always kind of curious of what brought them to this. Can you tell me a little bit more about mm-hmm. what you were doing and what led you into specifically this VR yeah, platform?
Absolutely, yeah. So I've been building video networks from a technology perspective for 10 years now. And so, you know, everything from the encoding infrastructure to live streaming to on-demand to, you know, basically understanding the full stack from a technology perspective, splitter, edge network, content delivery. And so, you know, I've built that from both a pure B2B perspective as well as a consumer perspective. Right. And so, you know, when VR started to kind of tip over in the middle of last year, I think, you know, the Oculus acquisition really did that for most people when, you know, they kind of saw that was making it real. Mm-hmm. You know, for us, my team, our whole backgrounds are video production and building video networks. And so
a lot in the music space.
Yes. Well, yeah. I mean, so I've spent,
also, so I mean, you said video, but I mean also yep. sound music.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, when I was in school and even up until the mid 2000s, I was producing music and producing video, and my partners have either been producing video or building video platforms. And so, you know, we saw, you know, VR as an opportunity to take 360 video into right. the VR context. And
well, you know, obviously my interest is in the film side, more traditional storytelling from the film side. But let me just switch and ask you a little bit about something I haven't talked about too much on this channel is music video. It seems like a good idea. We're going to try to do one here pretty soon. What are you seeing out there? What do you when you think about music videos for the VR space? Mm-hmm. Anything come to mind? Anything unique that you think of? Or
yeah, I mean, I think the real application for VR music is live events. You know, having a sense like you're there. And, you know, like you're sitting on the stage next to Jay-Z or whatever, you know, that's a pretty compelling use for VR in music. You know, I think there's, you know, the polished experience that you can put together, like a, you know, traditional music video that you would see on, you know, TV or whatever on, you know, just on your phone. There's a lot of opportunity for storytelling there as well. And you run into the the same challenges and opportunities that you would if you were producing just a, you know, a traditional piece of 360 video for VR. So yeah, tons of opportunity in the music space.
Yeah.
That's one of the places that we see kind of the biggest early adoption for video and VR.
Right. Well, Milk's deal with Chris Milk's thing with Beck kind of got us all launched. And obviously that's a music video in that sense, a concert experience. For me, it's going to be interesting to see in the sense that you can, besides being at the live events, being able to choreograph around, you know, but I don't know. Mm-hmm. We've talked about this before. I think one of the interesting things the industry is going is just barely, everything's new. So I started to say it's starting to go through now as if it was, is this idea of using the full 360 space. Mm-hmm. I think even in music, you think we may run into that they, people say, well, I don't really necessarily need to see the people behind me at the concert. Mm-hmm. I mean, put me up on the stage. Okay. Now make use of the 360, but we may see that too, as we've talked about in the film side. What can you talk a little bit about that? I'm trying to pick up on our earlier conversation a little bit too, what you and I had before we started this recording, on what we see people may or may not want to do relative to the backspace.
Yep. I think you have to think about where people are going to be consuming this stuff. So, you know, if you're planning on them kind of replacing the television and sitting on the couch, then, you know, 360 degrees might not make sense.
Right.
Whereas, you know, some people are building dedicated spaces for 360 degree content. So that could be games or 360 video or photos. And that looks like a swivel chair and,
right,
you know, wire free.
Well, once we go wire free, I think the debate's going to change a fair amount. But even then, I don't know that we want to crane our neck around. And you better give me a damn good reason to have to look backwards.
Yeah. Yeah.
Exactly. Obviously, the horror genres can make use of that to an extent, and then it's, you know.
Yeah, I see most of the storytelling honestly gravitating towards, you know, 180. However, you know, you can imagine that if you had a scenario like Jurassic Park where you could turn around and see a dinosaur chasing you, you know, that is an interesting use of it and can be really exciting and compelling.
Right.
And you can also, you know, you can hide Easter eggs in the background. If you have a sense of what's behind you and you know that there's things behind you, you know, you as the viewer might feel more immersed, even if you don't look behind you and even if the story isn't behind you at all.
I remember when I was seeing the Crescent Bays demo and, you know, the alien that's standing there on that rock, you know, you've seen it on this planet. And because he's standing there, maybe 6 feet from you, I guess, I've forgotten now, apparently 6 feet from you. it's funny, but I even had this momentary pause, a feeling sort of discomfort about looking away from him to look behind me, because he's right there in your face. There's a psychological element to that too, that we as a, you know, in our culture, don't turn our backs on people talking or whatever else, and especially the more we feel that it is reality, to the extent we're trying to go to a true virtual reality, I think we may have an effect of that too that might be interesting to see as it develops.
I think having 360 degree elements can you know, even if it's not a core part of the story, it can make it feel more real to you. So yeah, I mean, I like both approaches. I think they make sense.
And again, we're talking cinema, because obviously you're in Call of Duty and of course you're 360. I mean, that's the whole point. I mean, how wonderful that's going to be. So, but we're talking about more of a linear storytelling perchance or whatever it may be. Where do you see, let's look out there. Let's look over the next hill, you know, way out in the future, 6 months. And then maybe let's look at the next hill past that. I'm just curious from your point of view, where do you is the next hurdle getting wire free? I mean, completely going to these more mobile based?
Yeah, I think we need to get to a point where you're not tied to a machine.
Right.
So it needs to be fully wireless. There needs to be some ubiquity around the controls that are in your hands, head tracking. We need to still get all of those things dialed in. The consumer adoption of headsets is still, who knows what that's going to look like. I mean,
right.
We're hoping that it's faster than, than it is, slower, but at the same time, you need, in order to be able to push stories to VR, you need some kind of a consistent experience, and you need consumer adoption.
Right.
So, I think that's probably the biggest first hill to get over. There's a lot of excitement around the developer community and people starting to take a look at VR. But
right.
I think from a consumer adoption perspective, that's the first hill to get over.
Right.
And then, after that,
which is really the sweet spot where you are,
right?
Right. With Little Star. I mean, you guys, that's the point. You're that interim piece to mm-hmm. take it to the consumer.
Yeah, exactly. I mean,
if the hardware gets, when the hardware is ready,
we're there.
Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. And in the meantime, that's why we built mobile first with support for Google Cardboard, and then our Gear VR app and Oculus app will be, they're in the approval process now, but yeah, so, we're preparing for when consumers adopt this technology, but in the meantime, we still want to give 360 storytellers a way to
right.
get it out to consumers. And then, storytelling is really the next piece of that. There's only so right. many things you can look at in 360 degrees until the novelty wears off.
Absolutely. Well, obviously, that's my focus, but yeah. Now, let's go two hills away. And I'll just say, is that... What do you see two hills away? Once we've got now, we live in a world, let's say, where, Microsoft's got their device for whatever the Xbox is going to be at that point. Everybody's kind of got their device. Obviously, you and I both, we hope it's going to be this big industry. I'm just curious. Do you just see this thing continuing to escalate on up?
Yeah. I mean, I think, we have to get to a point where it's so easy and passive to use that we mm-hmm. can use it every day for long periods of time.
Right.
And so,
do you think AR is having an AR element to it is important to that?
Honestly, I think, yeah, AR is probably the end. It's the end here. It's like the end game, basically. Because in AR, you can go to a fully immersive experience or you can pop back out into augmented reality. So, I see that those devices as being where we ultimately land on everyday use.
So Microsoft's,
HoloLens.
Thank you. Just lost mm-hmm. the name of it. Did they do, them jumping out with an AR type concept, at least, concept at this point. You think that's smart to start AR as opposed to joining in with another HMD type VR?
I think they have a great approach, and their video, the demo video, is pretty compelling, and some of those projects are already in the works. So
right.
I do think that, they're taking a great approach to the whole thing. And, we can integrate 360-degree video and photos into the HoloLens experience, and that just then takes over your full view. But then you can jump back out of it and still see things floating around in space that, play games or, your TV or whatever it is. So, yeah, I mean, I think there's a ton of opportunity there. And we're actively looking at developing for that.
Now, VR sickness has got to be it's a concern to all of us. Mm-hmm. But specifically when you're in the business of bringing content to consumers who may not otherwise be experienced gamers are used to some of these sort of vertigo experiences visual experiences.
Mm-hmm.
What's your thoughts on that? You feel pretty confident that we're going to get that licked?
Yeah. I mean, I think a lot of it comes down to the storytellers and, not putting people in experiences that will make them sick. But then mm-hmm. you also have, the technology and the hardware itself, which has some hurdles it needs to get over. And then, once you have kind of cleared those out of the way, then you have, eye strain issues and discomfort on the headsets and with the headset being on your head. So, I think there's a lot of challenges in terms of discomfort for, watching VR for a long period of time. So,
well, yeah, it's definitely one of those things that you know, we're all concerned with. I know both of us being in the business, we put a lot of different people in those devices, and that's always a concern. A lot of people, and of course, there's an age difference in their experience with it, and helping them move through it. I think it's just going to be over time we'll find our way on that. Mm-hmm. Before we wrap up here, so you guys are in New York. You're New York based. Where are we seeing this market? I mean, I know there's a pocket. Obviously, everybody thinks Silicon Valley, but then there's obviously a fairly good contingent in LA.
Right.
It seems I saw several in Venice area specifically, or maybe I was just seeing a particular group. Mm-hmm. You guys are going to stay in New York? Is that the idea, or you don't know yet, or what's the?
We are going to be in New York and LA. Right. So our headquarters are in New York, right. And we're opening an office in LA right now. So we'll have a couple people on the ground in LA full time. And, you know, I feel like the hardware is happening in Silicon Valley, San Francisco.
Right.
The, you know, storytelling and production is happening in LA.
Right.
And we see a lot of, you know, the agency brand, interest in from New York.
Right.
And so we're able to get deals done on both.
Well, that's good.
Yeah. Yeah.
So. It gives you a little bit of an advantage there.
Right.
Well, Tony, listen, thank you very much for doing this today and letting us have this chat. I know we're going to be working together, and I look forward to that and seeing where Little Star goes.
Yeah. Awesome. Thank you.
All right. Appreciate it. Thanks a lot.